This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua, Maseches Ksubos, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. I would say this Amud is what we call the heart of Shtarais. So, like many of the Blat and Ksubos, especially regarding Shtarais, where there's sort of an elementary reading of it, the words are not hard, and you could sort of say an approach, but there's this Amud is really loaded. Okay, we're going to start four lines from the top on Yud Tes Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, now, just before we had Rav Kahana, that a person cannot keep a shtar amana in their house. Again, shtar amana is where no loan took place, but the loiva trusted the malva to write up a shtar. That the loiva says, one day I'm going to borrow money from you. You know, we're not going to have time to write up the shtar. I'll let you hold on to the shtar until that day comes. And the Gemara says that you're not allowed to keep a shtar amana in your house because you might wrongfully collect with it. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur lo adam sheyish shtar parua b'teich b'isai. You're not to keep a paid-up shtar in your house. The malva cannot hold on to a shtar that the loiva paid. Why? Mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Al tishgoin ba'oyhalecha avla." Do not allow to dwell in your tent iniquity. Al tishgoin ba'oyhalecha avla. Do not allow to dwell in your tent iniquity. And that's iniquity. Because if it's paid up, what's going to happen? You'll forget that it's paid. You'll collect again. B'ma'arava mishmei derav Amri, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav, they said, im oven b'yadcha harchikeyu, if there is iniquity in your hand, distance it. Zeh shtar amana. This is a shtar on trust. Ushtar pasim. A shtar pasim is the Masoras Hasha says Pirusha Paisoy Lahalvay Sloy Shtar. You seduced him, you persuaded him to lend you a shtar. Basically, you ask the guy, here, you have a promissory note that someone owes you $1 million. Look, I have to marry off my daughters. I gotta look wealthy. You mind just giving me that note for a few days? So therefore, I'll show it to people. Look, you know, I'm a gvir. It's, you know, good to appear like a gvir. So that's the shtar pasim. So the pasuk im ad oven biyadcha harchikeo zeh shtar amana ushtar pasim v'al tishkoin ba'oyalecha avla zeh shtar paro. That's a paid up shtar. Now, the opinion that says you should not keep a paid up shtar kol shekein shtar amana, certainly a shtar amana, a paid up shtar is not as bad as a shtar amana. A paid up shtar was once good. Shtar amana was fabricated from the beginning. Oman d'amar shtar amana. But the opinion that holds a shtar amana is the shtar you shouldn't hold on to. Avo shtar parua loy. It could be you're allowed to hold on to a shtar parua. Why? De zimnin de mishile apshiti de safra. Because sometimes you hold on to it. Sometimes you keep it. You hold on to it for the fee of the sofer. Because let's say you lend someone $100. Besides the loan, it is the responsibility of the borrower to pay the scribe to write up the document. Now, what if the loive doesn't have the funds to pay for that? What if the loive cannot afford? What if the loiva cannot afford that? So sometimes, even if the loiva pays back the actual debt, the malva will hold on to the shtar to be able to collect the fee for the scribe's fee. So there are two ways in the Rishonim of learning this. Either if the lender held on to a shtar parua, you know why he held on to the shtar parua? Because he was holding on to it to be able to collect the other few dollars that the borrower owed him for the scribe's fee. And then he just never returned it. So he's excused for holding on to it even after the borrower paid him not only for the loan but for the scribe's fee. He's sort of excused for holding on to the shtar perua because since he held on to it rightfully for to be able to collect the scribe's fee, so we could excuse him for continuing to hold on to it after all debts have been paid. Or some Rishonim say no. After all debts are paid, for sure he's not allowed to hold on to it. What we mean is, he's allowed to hold on to it after the debt has been paid, before the scribe's fee has been paid. Even though you might say, well, if he holds on to it, he might end up collecting the whole loan again. No, we're not worried about that, and he's entitled to hold on to it because he still has some debt to collect. Itmar, we learned. Sefer she'eino imuga. A sefer that has not been fixed up. Let's say you have Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, and there are mistakes in it. So the halacha is, Amar Rav Ami, Ad Lamed Yoyim, Moto Hashoyis, you'll have to keep it in your possession for 30 days. Mikan ve'ilach, from 30 days and on, Asar Lashoyis, so you're not allowed to keep it in your possession. Mishum Shenemar, because it says, Al Tishkoin Bo'yalecha Avla, should not dwell in your tent iniquity. Should not dwell in your tent iniquity. Therefore, more than 30 days is called dwelling. Less than 30 days, it did not dwell in your possession. Okay. So basically, you're not supposed to hold on to svarim that have mistakes in them. And this is true even b'zman hazeh. If you have a sefer and has a mistake, and for a short amount of time, you could hold on to it. But you're not allowed to keep it because you might forget about it and you'll end up learning from it and make a mistake. Fine. Here we go. You ready? What do we know so far? We know that if Adam say, we signed on the shtar, but we were anus machmas nefashos, or we were ketanim, or we were related, they're believed. Why? Because since they're the only way that we could verify the shtar, they have peh she'asar, peh she'hiter. However, if they say that we were coerced, machmas mamain, so they're rendering themselves rishayim, they're not believed. So peh she'asar allows edim to qualify their verification, but not to make themselves wicked. But if their signature has been authenticated, they're not even believed to say anything. Why? Because once their signature is verified, that was their testimony, and we say, Kivan Shehigid, Shuveino Chayzer Omagid. Now the question is, what about Edom that say, Amana Hayu Dvarenu? Mar Baravashi Amar, Amana Hayu Dvarenu. If Edom say, you know, we signed on a shtar, but there was no loan, it was given on faith. They're not believed. Now, we already explained why they're not believed. Because even though they have a pesha asar, pesha hiter, nevertheless, they cannot render themselves wicked. They were not allowed to sign on a shtar that was given out of faith. Fine. Moida hayu dvareinu. This is mamish. It was worthwhile to come down to this world to hear the shayla. It was worth Moida hayu dvareinu. Now, they're not saying this was a loan based on faith. They're saying that it's a shtar of sale. And the Edom that sign on it, they say, you should know, the seller sold it. But before he sold it, he said to us who signed it, I want you to know, I don't want to sell it. I'm only selling it because I'm trying to save my skin because the buyer is going to kill me. So the Edom say that, yes, we signed it, and it's a good shtar, and it was a sale, but the owner testified before us that he didn't want to sell it. Ein nemanim. They're not believed. Excuse me. Ein nemanim. So Rav Nachman says, Edom that say, Aman ho yidvarenu, ein nemanim. Maida ha yidvarenu, ein nemanim. Now, Moida hayu dvarenu is a pele. Why can't they say that the owner said he didn't want to sell it? Rashi says a chiddush nifla. Because the Chayra in this case, they're not making themselves wicked. The Edom were allowed to testify. They're allowed to help him save his skin. The guy didn't want to sell it, but the Edom are allowed to testify that he sold it. So why are they not believed? Says Rashi, because what they're saying constitutes oral testimony. And the oral testimony cannot contravene the written testimony on the shtar. Marbar Avashi Amar Amano Yidvarin and Amon. If they say that we signed on it on a shtar of faith, that really they're making themselves wicked, they're not believed. Maidaha Yudvarinu. But the owner testified before us, he didn't want to sell. Namanim. My taima, what's the reason they're believed? What's the difference between Amana and Maida? Hai nitin li kasev. Ashtar Amon, Ashtar Maida is allowed to be written. You're allowed to write a shtar to help a guy sell a field to save his skin. So therefore, they're believed to say that it's a shtar maida. But a shtar amana is not allowed to be written. You're not allowed to write a shtar if there was no loan. V'hailoi niten li kasev. But the question is, what does Rav Nachman hold? Rav Nachman holds, just like a shtar amana, they're not believed. A shtar maida, they're not believed either. That's a pella. Why are they not believed? In the Mishnah, Edim are believed to say that Anusim Hayinu Machmas Nefashas. Edim are believed to say there was no loan here. We were coerced into signing to save our life. So the same way Edim are believed to say that we were coerced or that we were Kroivim because they're not rendering themselves a Rasha, why are they not believed to say that there was the sale was forced? So Rashi says this rule that Maida loy asi al peru marale lashtara, an oral testimony cannot infringe, cannot harm the shtar. An oral testimony cannot harm the shtar. That's very interesting. But in the Mishnah, we say Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitter. So why can't the Edom say, we're the ones telling you we signed on it, and we say that the guy was forced into selling it?
We also said that signing on a shtar is similar to oral Edus and Bezdin.
Great. But they're qualifying and saying, yes, we signed on it, but in the same sentence, the guy was forced. So why can't Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitter? They're not incriminating themselves. What would the difference be between Maida Hayudvarenu and Anusim Hayinu Machmas Nefashais? So, this is one of the most difficult svaras in Ksubis. I mean, we could say it, but this is basically Tosfos's kasha. Amar Rav Nachman, Edim she'amru amanu hayudvarenu ein amanim. Tosfos says they're obviously ain't ksav yadim yotzim makom acher, because if it's ksav yadim yotzim makom acher, of course they're not believed. And Tosfos therefore asks, so why aren't they believed? Why don't you have a migu? Believe us that it was maida. Why? Rav Nachman, Migu. Tosfos says you should have a Migu. I mean, I would call it a Pesha Asar. You only know it's a good signature based on our testimony, and we're telling you that the guy was forced. I mean, Edim are believed to say Parua because they could have said Mezuyaf. Certainly Edim. So Tosfos says like this: V'tiritzri dahainu taima d'mayda. Since they agree that the shtar was written and given over kahalacha, they cannot harm the shtar. Afilu b'migu. Aye, what about they're allowed to say anusim hayinu machmas nefasha? So allowed to say ketanim hayinu. V'loy domi la anusim uketanim asnisin. By anusim and ketanim. They never agreed it was a good shtar. They said it was not a good shtar. We say we signed on it, but it's not a good shtar. We were forced to sign on a bogus shtar. They never consented. They never said it was a valid shtar. They completely uprooted. You can't say that their oral testimony cannot be Mara the Shtar, because they never said it was a good Shtar. They said, we were Anusim Machmas Nefashois. There was no loan. It was not a good Shtar. They never validated the Shtar. And Rav Nachman says the same thing. Rav Nachman holds Ammana also. They never agreed it was a good shtar. By Ammana, the reason they're not believed, because they can't harm the shtar, because they say like this, listen carefully. They say, by Ammana, the shtar was written correctly. There were two Eidim. And we witnessed, and we signed it kahalacha. So now we're not believed to say it was amana. We say it was written with the das of the loive. It's not because they're doing an avera. Rav Nachman doesn't. Marbar Rav Ashi holds that it's only amana they're not believed, because leinitein likasev. But according to Rav Nachman, the reason of amana and maida are the same. Namely, listen carefully, that if the Edom say that this shtar was written kehalacha, just there was no loan, or just the guy didn't want to sell it, so they're sort of validating the procedure of the shtar, but they're rendering it invalid. You can't ruin the shtar. When you say the shtar was written kahalacha, but they want to undermine its ability to collect because of a factor that, let's say, there was no loan, or because the seller was forced, they can't orally ruin the shtar. Masha'in Kain in the Mishnah, when they say, we were forced to sign, we were ketanim, we were psulim, so they're not acknowledging for a moment the validity of the shtar. So they don't, if they don't acknowledge the validity of the shtar, they're not. It's not cold oral testimony uprooting a shtar, because they never acknowledged it was a shtar. There's no shtar that they're uprooting. They're saying there's no shtar. But if they say the shtar was executed halachically, it's not valid. You can't orally uproot a halachically valid shtar. I think I hear it very clearly, actually. That's as good as I ever got it. And I I've spent time on this. Okay, that's how Tosfos learns. Next, Boy Minei Rava Me Rav Nachman. Rava asked from Rav Nachman, Tanai Hayu Dvarenu Mahu. Now this is going with the Shita of Rav Nachman. Then Amona and Moida, they're not believed. Again, the reason they're not believed, listen carefully, is because they say the shtar was executed halachically, it's just not valid. So we have the svara of Rashi. Lai asi dibur umare le l'shtara. Right? Rashi says, Lai asi al peh umare le l'shtara. Well, the question is, Tanai hayu dvarenu. Let's say Edom say, look, the guy, Reuven, sold it to Shimon. That's what the shtar says. And it's a valid shtar. But we just want you to know there was a detail that was not mentioned in the shtar that Reuven said to Shimon, I'm only going to let you buy it if you cook cholent with Mexican hot sauce. And the Edom say, look, Shimon never put the Mexican hot sauce in the cholent, so it's not a good sale. So what do you mean? It doesn't say that in the shtar. The Edom say, you don't trust us. So basically what the Edom are doing, are they're saying there's an unspoken, unfulfilled stipulation. Tanai hayadvarinu. Now, logically, they should not be believed, because they're basically saying the shtar was executed halachically, and now they want to orally uproot the shtar. Or do we say, no, that's not called orally uprooting the shtar. That's just like an external, super outside factor that from the side door makes it that the shtar is not going to be valid. But it's not destroying the efficacy of the shtar like Maida or Amana. Maida or Amana are saying the shtar was executed properly, but it's completely invalid. They're saying the shtar was executed properly, but the shtar is invalid. That you can't do. You can't ruin the shtar orally if you say it was executed properly. But what about a tanai? You're not ruining the shtar. You're just bringing in an outside factor that maybe the shtar should not be effective. Says the Gemara, "Boy, minei Rava Mirav Nachman, tnai hayu dvareinu mahu." Tnai v'aman haynu tam deka akri leleshtara. You're oikar the star v'haynami kaakri leleshtara. And in a sense, when you say there is an unfulfilled stipulation, you're also uprooting the star. Oydilmor, maybe tnai milsa achritihi. Or maybe the stipulation is something else. Something else means an outside factor. So Rav is asking Rav Nachman, you Rav Nachman who hold Amana and Moida, you're not believed because you can't orally uproot the shtar. What about Tanai? Amar Lei, Rav Nachman said, you should know, Ki Asa Kaman Ladino, when Edom come before me, Amrinu Lu, I say to them, Zilu Kaimu Tana Aichu, I say to the buyer, you better fulfill your tanai v'chosul adina and come down to court. But basically, if you don't fulfill the tanai, we're going to trust the edim and we're not going to allow the shtar to be collected with. Now the question is, what if one witness says there is a stipulation and the other witness does not? If you had both witnesses, we would believe them. What if one witness says? Eid Oimer Tanai Ve'Eid Oimer Einoi Tanai. One witness says there was a Tanai, one does not. Rav Papa says, well, wait a second. Tarvayu B'Shtar Ma'aliyu Kamasadi. They're both testifying to a good Shtar. V'Haidu Kamar Tanai. And the one that says it's a Tanai, there was a Tanai. Havalechad, he's one witness. Ve'in Dvarv Shalecha B'Makam Shnayim. One witness's testimony is not going to work in the face of two witnesses that say it's a good Shtar. They both say it's a good Shtar. One witness says there's a Tanai, so it's basically two against one. Now, Rav Papa is almost impossible to understand here. Because the one witness is not saying it's not a good shtar. He, in the same breath that he's saying it's his signature, he's saying, well, but it can't be used. So he has a Pesha Asar. So you don't have two witnesses verifying the shtar. That's basically what Rav Huna asks. Maskefla Rav Huna, braid Rav Yeshua. Ihachi yivsa afil tarvayonami. Even if both witnesses says there is a stipulation. It should not work. We should not believe them. Because once they testify that it's a valid shtar, if they want to say it's a stipulation, so then they're being chayzer o magid. Elamai, why are two witnesses allowed to say it's a Tanai, but they say that it's their signature, so then the shtar is valid. So if it's valid, how could they now testify there was a Tanai? The answer is, because they have a Pesha Asar. That in the same sentence, they're saying, yes, it's our signature, but there was a Tanai. Ella Amrinan Hani Lameka said the Sarkasi, they're uprooting their testimony. So Hainami Lameka said the Sarkasi, the second witness is uprooting his testimony, and therefore you don't have two witnesses verifying the shtar. The Hilchasad Halacha is Kravhuna Breid Rabbi Yeshua, that in fact, even if one witness says that there was a Tanai, we're going to believe him. Okay, let's read this next little shtickle. I remember back in the yeshiva, I found this amud to be the most difficult amud of shtarais. But again, you could read it and understand it on an elementary level. It's not like some gemaras, you know, you can't make heads or tails. No, I think there are many, many levels of understanding, but there is, I think we're getting a very strong structural understanding of the various cases, based on Rashi and Tosis as well. Next case, Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim Chasumin al Ashtar. Two people that sign on Ashtar, Umeisu, and they died, Ubo Shnayim and Ashukva Amru, two from the market come and say, Yadana Shuksav Yadamhu. We know it's their signature, Avalanusim Hayu. They were forced, Katanim Hayu, Psula Edus Hayu, Harelu Nemanim. But Vim Yesh Edim Shiksav Yadam Huzeh, if they're Edim that it was their signature, or their signature emanated from elsewhere, Mishtar Shakara Alav Irr, from Mishtar that was disputed, Vhoksik Bebezin, and then was verified, Ein Eilu Namanim, the second witnesses are not believed. Now, if it would be the Edim themselves that say, we're Anusim, after the shtar was verified, then we have a problem of kivin shegit shavena chazer magid. But it's not the same Edim. It's Edim are coming from Nebraska saying that the Edim that signed on the shtar were anusim. And it happens to be we have two other Edim that verify the signature. So it should be two against two. So says the Gemara, they're not believed. We're going to collect with it as if it would be a good shtar. Why? It's two against two. So it should be in a standstill. You should, the shtar should be in limbo. You have two Edim verifying and two Edim challenging. You can't collect with such a shtar. The muchsuk should be able to keep the money because he's in possession of it. So now we come to another major sugya in Shas, what is called treu trei, two Edim against two Edim, and there's a shiloh whether treu trei is a suffik d'oraisa, suffik d'rabbanan. Okay, Marv Rabbeisar, we're going to hold it over here. Thank you very much. Bizchuscha, I got it a little bit clearer. And we'll pick it up as Hashem next Monday. Thank you for joining. Bracha v'atzlacha. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.